welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about keywords. You see, keywords have to be one of the topics that I speak about the most. I get asked about the most. I have to explain to clients the most. They kind of hold a big chunk of the power in what we do. And it's one of those topics that people somehow struggle to grasp. And actually, understanding how to do basic keyword research is really a skill or a technique that any web agency should have, because it adds that extra layer of value to your client. That means that you're not only going to build them something that, of course, it looks good, that's unquestionable, of course, it works well, that's unquestionable too, but hey, it's actually going to perform well as well. And by getting some of these cornerstones in place right at the start of any project is a great place to be. So what I wanted to do today was just to talk through a few pieces of our process with you, and to share a Google Sheet, which is actually the Google Sheet that we use in SEO Hive to run our keyword research. So before we get onto the Google Sheet, I'll get there in a moment. What I want to talk to you about is, how do you create your priorities for your keyword research? You see, when you're starting a project with a client and you're looking at how to structure the keywords and where to put your time, this can vary from client to client depending on the approach that they want to take to their new website and to their SEO. So for example, a lot of clients that we work with simply want to support the product or service that makes them the most money. So we need to have a frank discussion with them about how much money they make, what that product or service is, what's the ins, the outs, what solutions does it offer to the end user, who's going to buy it, all of that kind of stuff, and kind of get ourselves into the mindset of the person that is going to buy that single product or service. However, some companies that we work with, they're perfectly happy with how their main product or service is working. That's maybe what they're renowned for, what their, I don't know, their whole family history in their company sort of leans to, I don't know. But what they want from their SEO isn't to take their big thing and make it bigger, but is actually to take all of their other small stuff and bring them up to par so that there's a more balance in their organization. So in which case, the conversation's a little bit different. You know, we do need to still understand their customers and their full suite of products and services, but actually we need to know the sort of the areas that we're not treading on in order to support the areas that we are. And either of those two approaches is just as valid as the other. You know, it's entirely up to the business owner to know what's going on in their business. Alternatively, we can also look at if there's any places where there are quality issues with the types of sales or inquiries that the customer is getting through, that the client is getting through. So that might be that, you know, a client could come to us and say, look, we're getting 100 inquiries a week, and that should be more than enough, but we're finding that really only 5 or 6 of them are the right types of inquiries, are people that we can help. In which case, it's not so much that there's an exposure issue, but actually there's a quality issue. So we need to look at the content that's being put out there. What are the keywords that they're being found for? How do they tie in with their kind of ideal customers, their customer profiles? And then we can then start to put a strategy from there. Again, perfectly fine, a perfectly legitimate approach to your SEO, to prioritizing your keywords, but it's different from the other two approaches that I mentioned earlier. The other thing that we always look at, with regardless of which of those three approaches that we are going to take, however, is we will always look at what is going to have a direct impact on your bottom line. You see, when you start doing SEO for any client, be it as part of a web project, as a bit of a one-off, or as an ongoing retainer, one of the very first things they do, clients do, is look at how much they're spending and say, well, what are we going to get for that? And actually, by, you know, we'll get onto the competition level of keywords shortly, but by looking at, you know, if you have a list of keywords and you automatically go for the ones with the highest volume and the highest competition level, then you may make some gains, but you're not actually going to show too much return on investment too quickly, simply because that's the game that we're playing. So we also need to have a tinge in here that is to say, you know what, we are going to look at, we're of course going to look at the competitive stuff, but we're also going to look at the slightly less competitive stuff, because that's where we can show you value. And you know that if we can show you value in the first 2 to 3 to 4 months on some of this lower stuff, and you can see a better quality of inquiries or more sales coming in, or a few more inquiries for your lesser products, whatever the strategy is, then actually we're then going to have a far better working relationship as we go for those more competitive terms. Now, what I also need to say at this point is you can always run keyword research thematically or by a department if that is necessary. So we've talked about running keyword research. What do I mean by that? Well, actually, to run keyword research means to have 3 outputs. So the first is you need to do the keyword research. You need to have a list of keywords that you have found that are related to each other that all support the client's marketing strategy, the goals of their business. So that's the first thing. You need to have the list. From that list, though, you need to be able to do 2 more things with it. The first is take that list and then map the list to any existing content on the website that is correct. It might need a bit of optimization. It might need a review. It might not even be in the right place. It might need a change of hierarchy. But actually to say, you know what, there's already a page that's ranking quite well for X. We can make it better, but there's a page that already exists. That's to map a keyword. And then obviously, once you've mapped the keywords that you can from your strategy, you're then left with a list of keywords that are not mapped to any content. And that could be because they're long tail. That could be because it's a new take on things that the company hasn't considered before. There's a whole load of reasons why you haven't got pages. But that's kind of the third output. So you have the list itself, then a filter of that list which has the mapped keywords, and then a filter of that list that has the unmapped keywords. And once you have that, that's kind of the bare bones of your keyword strategy put in place. So how do we go and get this keyword research done? So in order to do this, as I said, I've got the keyword sheet, the Google sheet that we use in SEO Hive to run our keyword research. And I'm going to talk you through that now. If you head on over to peteeverett.com/127, that you can actually get the link to the keyword, to the sheet, and you can make a copy for yourself and use it for your own clients. So if you're watching this on a video, I should say we are I have done a video version of this as well. So if you're watching this on a video, you'll now be able to see what's going through the Google Sheet. And if you're listening to this as the audio podcast, then of course you will only, I'll do my best to describe it. But go and see the sheet, maybe have the podcast on in the background when you're not driving or anything like that, and you'll be able to see what's going on. So basically, the Google Sheet is made up of 5 pages, 5 tabs that run across the bottom, and it's designed so that you start on the furthest left and work your way all across to the right. The very first thing that we need to do before we actually start doing keyword research, you know, actually finding new keywords, is we need to assess what we call the keyword baseline. It's basically the difficulty level that the website is currently operating at. And the reason this is important is because if we understand that a website is performing well for keywords that have a difficulty level of 25 to 30%, for example, then we know that we can quite easily rank for other keywords of that caliber. Whereas, you know, keywords with a higher difficulty level are going to be a bit more of a challenge. Whereas if we then take a different website, which could be for another client in exactly the same niche, doing exactly the same thing, then but they're operating at a keyword difficulty of 70 to 75%, then we know that we can automatically go for more competitive keywords straight away because the website is already ranking at that level. So it's really important that we understand what our keyword baseline is. So on tab 1, it's called top 20 keywords. And this is, so what we do to populate this page is we go and we put in the client site's URL into a tool like SEMrush or Mangles or Ahrefs, something like that. And we go and get all of the results, all of the URLs for any page on the website and any keyword, I should say, that that website ranks within the top 20 positions. So that's not to say that you'll have exactly 20 results here. We're not looking for exactly 20. We are looking for keywords that you are ranking within the top 20 results. So the list might be quite short, it might be quite long, but that gives us the keyword difficulty for all of those keywords. And there's a few columns in here for keyword and position, cost per click, search volume, and keyword difficulty. We simply go and copy and paste the data in. That's all we do. When we do that, it automatically carries over to the keyword baseline page, which is the next tab. So I'm now on tab 2. And what this page does is it groups all of the keywords into difficulty levels of 5%. Now we've put a little sort of color scale in around the 75. So you've got 65 and 70 are colored yellow, 75 is colored green, so that would be where most of the results would be. And then 80 to 85 and 85 to 90 are colored yellow again. So the idea is that most keywords work in kind of a sort of peak fashion, if you like. So where your highest peak is, you color that green, and then the others, the sort of two either side, we've colored yellow. And it just helps us sort of visualize where the keywords are. If you're using the Google Sheet, I should say the colors don't move automatically. So there's a graph there that changes automatically to show you where to put them. But the colors we just go and set manually. So that then goes and gives us our keyword baseline and helps us understand what keywords we're aiming for, and is something that we'll use later on in the sheet to help select keywords with the client. So that's the whole keyword baseline section done. We then move on to section 3, or page 3 of the Google Sheet. And this is where we actually start to do our keyword research. Now, we use SEMrush and Mangles in both in my agency and in SEO Hive. There's lots of different sources for finding keywords. I'll run through some of them at the end of the podcast as a bit of a sort of quick list, if you like. But what we're doing with this page is we're now starting to bank up all of the keywords that we think are relevant to the client. Now, I should say that this is the sheet that we use as within SEO Hive or within the agency. This is not the page we show to the client. We get onto that in a second. So this is just us gathering our ideas. Now, when you look at this list, again, you've got very similar columns. You've got keyword, search volume, keyword difficulty, cost per click, and competition. You'll also see that there's some blank columns in amongst this. And the reason we've got some blanks in there is because we sometimes use some of the extra columns to make notes of things, like whether we think something would be a blog post, for example. So if it's a long tail keyword that's a question, we might put it in as a blog post. Or we might have categories or tags for keywords on department or product type or whatever. So we use some of the blank columns to put those bits of information in so we can kind of group things together. So we then go and run the keyword research, and we go and gather our ideas. As I said, I'll mention some of the sources we use for that in a moment. And that populates this sheet. What it also does, as we're populating this page, tab 3, called KW Opportunities, it then also automatically populates the fourth page, which is called KW Analysis. Now, this is the page that we show to the client. And what you'll see is that there's all of the same titles are in here, plus a column called relevant. And as the keywords appear, and the search volume appears, the keyword difficulty and the competition columns then automatically color based on like a traffic light sort of spectrum, from red, which would be really hard, through amber, which is kind of moderate, through to green, which is easy. And they automatically color based on that keyword baseline that we've done on the second sheet. So that's why it's important to do that first, because it then sort of puts the rest of the sheet in context for you and helps you explain things to the client. So you don't need to populate anything particularly on the sheet. It automatically comes in. The colors all happen automatically. The order is exactly the same as on tab 3, pulling through into tab 4. It's just the colors come through automatically. Now, as I said, this is then the sheet that we then talk through with the client. So at SEO Hive, we then supply this to the agency partners, and we ask them to mark the relevant ones. They may have a call with their client. at our agency, I arrange a call with the clients and we actually go through this on a Zoom call. Now, sometimes we then send the sheet over and they make the selections, other times we make the selections. It doesn't really make a lot of difference. But what you ultimately want to do is then come to a point where when you you have agreed with your client that you can mark all of the relevant keywords that have come through from your keyword research as relevant by clicking on the little drop down and clicking yes. If you click no, it doesn't do anything with it. It just marks it as a no. But if you click yes, it then pulls it through onto the fifth sheet of the Google Doc. If you're listening to this and this is all sounding a bit confusing, don't worry about it. Please go and download the Google Doc and you'll see what I mean. So the fifth sheet is called Keyword Shortlist or KW Shortlist. Now, at this point, we now have the sort of first output. If you remember, I mentioned those three outputs, the list itself, the mapped keywords, and the unmapped keywords. So we now have the list. That's it. A deliverable one, done. Congratulations. Well done. You've got deliverable one. So how do we then go about mapping and mapping keywords and then unmapping or finding the keywords that aren't mapped? So what we, again, any of the first few columns, the information that you've marked as yes for relevant on tab 4 will be pulled through into here. The colors won't come through because they're sort of obsolete at this point. But yeah, you have the current keyword. If there's a current position, you get to fill that in. You have the volume, the keyword difficulty. You then have a number of columns to do with the actual website itself. So the first is the URL. Now, we would then take this list and go and crawl the client's website using a tool, either SEMrush or Mangles, or maybe even something like Screaming Frog to get the website structure. And we would then get all of the URLs for every page that already ranked for the keywords that had been chosen. And if there wasn't a page, we'd leave it blank. So guess what? We've now just mapped some keywords. If we can now have the final two variables, because if there is a URL in that column, then it's mapped. And if there isn't a URL in that column, then it isn't mapped. And it's that simple. So this one sheet with, you know, sheet 5 of a Google sheet actually gives you all three of your deliverables. And that's kind of why it's there to help us sort of keep everything together. We then have some other sort of columns in there as well. One just marks it as complete. So maybe the first job we do after this is we then go and review the content of all of the pages that are mapped to the keyword. So, you know, maybe we've made a modification to the keyword, or it was an accidental ranking, or actually it is ranking, but it's in position 40 something and we need to improve it. So we would then go and review that and mark that as complete. We then can register the content type. So, you know, if it's existing content, we can just put in what it is. If it's new content, we could then say, right, well, this is going to be a blog post or a product page or a service page. Maybe this is a case study, or it might be some other page on the website. Obviously, we're now starting to get into specifics that could be specific to each client. We then have a column for intent, which includes things like top of funnel, middle of funnel, and bottom of funnel. So we get an idea of where, the type of content that we need to create. And then we have another comment for relaunch strategy. So, you know, for blog posts, a lot of that might be social media or paid ads. Whereas for product pages, it could be, it still might be paid ads, or it could be Google Shopping, or it could be a whole load of things in there. That's just a free form field that we can fill in as we wish. So I realize that's been a real whistle stop tour, and I would really encourage you to go to peteeverett.com/127. It'll send you to the episode page for this episode of the podcast, and you can go and grab a link to the Google Sheet on that page. And please make a copy. I've set it so that no changes can be made. It's a master. So please make a copy and then you can play with it to your heart's content in your own Google Drive account. So that's how the Google Sheet works. Now, the final thing I did sort of mention was that I would then talk through a number of sources for keywords that we run through with our clients. So the very first place that we always go for keywords is to the client themselves, and they give us a list, and we call that list our seed ideas or seed list. Now, that is obviously the client just giving us a brain dump of everything about either their products or their services or their business or their customers, their customer profiles, etc., etc. Some clients get this more than others. And where a client doesn't necessarily get it, we might hold a bit of a workshop to sort of tease that out. Maybe a client hasn't ever thought about client personas before or audience profiles, and we might need to guide them through that a little bit. So sometimes it's a bit of a collaboration to get that seed list, but it is always, always, always informed by the client themselves. Once we have that seed list, we can then go off and start finding stuff. And this is where our job starts to get a bit more fun. So one of the places we often go to is Wikipedia tables of contents. So, you know, these search terms, these seed ideas you've got, Google them and see what comes up. And if Wikipedia is there, look at their table of contents for their articles, because you can guarantee there's so many contributors to Wikipedia. You can guarantee that there's some gold in at least some of those tables of contents, particularly for either sections or related topics or even longer tail keywords you can get from Wikipedia tables of contents. Great place to go to. I've just mentioned Googling them. As you're Googling them, Google will give you suggestions. Google Suggest. It will give you, you know, the terms that people are looking for. So we go and we make a note of what Google's suggesting as we're typing stuff in. Now, okay, when you start typing the first few words, particularly, you might get some erroneous results or some results that aren't relevant. But you know what? As soon as you start getting into the flow of it, you can get some great suggestions, particularly for blog posts in there. And when we're Googling these things, I should also mention that we're taking note of the search features that are available. So be that featured snippets or lists or whatever it might be. We also look at Reddit and forums. Now, forums, more Reddit than forums, I'll be honest. Forums work great if there's particular forums in an industry or a niche that gets a lot of traffic. And what we're looking for in the forums isn't necessarily the contents themselves, but more the structure and the questions that are being asked. With Reddit, of course, you can get the structure from the Reddits and the subreddits, et cetera, which is why Reddit kind of works quite well, and maybe why we use it as more of our sort of unconscious go-to, I suppose. But what you're looking for is the structure of the Reddit or the forums, but also the language that goes around the topics. So if you've got a client that you're going to be generating content for, or you're advising on their strategy, then you need to sort of distance yourself from how you write about that topic or how that topic is portrayed. Instead, you know what the topic is, and then surrounding that, as you're creating your tree of content, as you're finding supplementary content to support more competitive keywords, maybe you're trying to find long tail keywords, it shouldn't really matter to you what sort of tone you're then approaching that keyword in. So to give you an example of this, I've mentioned this before on the show. We've worked with a telecoms company in England, and they wanted to rank for leased lines. And the reason for that was because if they got a leased line into a company, then that opened the door for them to sell basically any of their other products or services. Whereas if they only went and got a VoIP system in there, that VoIP system would only ever be as good as the line that was in anyway. And if that line wasn't up to much, they'd start to have complaints from their customers that their phones weren't working. And it wasn't really the phones, it was the leased line. And because they hadn't supplied the leased line, they couldn't guarantee the quality of it, and et cetera, et cetera. So leased lines was where it was at. So we went and did some research, and actually among all of the long tail topics about leased lines, the terminology advantages and disadvantages came up as, well, more than any other, let me put it that way. So we wrote a blog post for them called The Advantages and Disadvantages of Leased Lines, funnily enough. And it is still today the most organically visited page on their website. It outstrips their homepage by about 3-1. And that's how we got traffic into the site. Now, we only found that because the topic we were looking for was leased lines, but the language that we then were then seeing wasn't pros and cons, it wasn't versus, it wasn't benefits, it was advantages or disadvantages. So we put the two together. Now that might not sound groundbreaking, but all I'm trying to say is the it didn't matter to us whether we wrote the benefits of leased lines or the pros of leased lines or the cons of leased lines. The thing was, the data was telling us that people were searching for advantages or disadvantages. So that was the approach that we took. And that was what we got from the forums and from Reddit, basically, that kind of language. I've already mentioned Google Suggest earlier. YouTube has exactly the same functionality. When you start typing into YouTube, see what else is being suggested. And of course, when you then go and click on a YouTube, you enter a YouTube link, look at the titles of the videos, because lots of videos, particularly videos that have maybe 100,000 views or more, you can almost guarantee they have come from people that have spent time optimizing and researching what to entitle that video. So go and, you can glean a lot of information from that. The next place we look at is Twitter, and we particularly look at this for what we call exploding topics. And that they are, themes in the news that go viral, basically. Looking for things the tweets, the hashtags, whatever it might be, that's around those around the terms that could be linked to our client. It's quite difficult to go and get them. We probably don't spend as long on it as we should do at times, particularly if we start to get a decent list by this point. But it's certainly a place that you can go. And again, it also helps inform that language side to what you're going to suggest. And then finally, we use our tools. I've mentioned what, 6 or 7 different options for finding keywords yet, and I haven't mentioned our tools. So we use particularly SEMrush and Mangles are the tools we use in our agency and SEO Hive. But of course, Ahrefs is another good one. And you still can go and do free keyword research using the Google Ads Keyword Planner if you want to. It's not the nicest interface to use. But it's certainly an interface, let's say that. It's certainly workable. You can get some good suggestions from it. You get all the data that you need anyway to power the sheet. But we prefer to use SEMrush on Mangles. And to be honest, Mangles, if you pay for a monthly license on Mangles, it's only something like 49 euros, I think it is. So I don't quite know how that works in all the different currencies. I see it in euros. So it's not an expensive piece of software, even if you just went to pay for it for a month and then cancelled your subscription. So that is where we go and find our keywords from. So this episode has been a bit more practical. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it or watching it, depending on how you consume this. If you've got any questions at all, please feel free to drop into the group at peteeverett.com/group or search Facebook for Retain FM and you will find us there. My name has been Pete Everett and I will see you next week.